Okay, let's get right back to where we left off. Please open the scriptures, if they're closed, to Colossians chapter 3, written in Paul's first mission, Roman imprisonment to the believers in Colossae. We are looking at the source of stress, anxiety, and depression, as well as looking at how to live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression. To live in regard to its source is to live in our old nature, which was crucified with Christ. To live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression is to live in the new person that we are in Christ. To bring us to where we are, verse 1, since you have been raised up with Christ, so this has already occurred, keep on seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And this is where we are in the midst of our study right now. Now, since our death with Jesus Christ, being crucified with Him, cut us off, severed all links, all the connections, all the dependencies that are bound up with the old self. It cut us off with all of the things related to the things below or the things with this earth. Cut us off. This is why Paul, and this is where Christians have a lot of trouble, legalistic Christians especially, where Paul says all things are legal for me. What was he talking about? If you're dealing with the things of the earth, they're not the issues. Well, does he say we can sin? No, it's not what he's saying. But what he is saying is that all the things we get so hung up on things of the earth, of what you can eat and not eat and all these kinds of things and who people marry and all of this, we get so hung up, and as Christians, on things that are not even an issue. They're things related with the earth. Now, since that is true, the opposite is also true. Our being raised with Him means that we are now tied into a new order. And this new order is the heavenly order, the eternal order, the spiritual order. And it just takes training and habit of thinking, setting our mind, and living in that eternal heavenly order. It's not by sight. People, that's why we walk by faith. When we walk by sight, we're walking in this earthly realm. We see it. It's so real. This is why it is so difficult to continually walk by faith, because we can see the things related to the earth. We are involved with the things related to the earth. But what you and I have to develop our habit is to set our mind, our thinking, it has to be done. It's a choice on those things that are eternal, the things that are above, the things that are spiritual. So there are experiential things that are going to happen to us in sharing the death of Christ. There are very definite things that should start happening in our lives experientially in being raised up with Him. Now look with me, if you will please, at Romans chapter 6. Turn to Romans 6 for a moment. Now we haven't studied the book of Romans, but we've gone through different things so often that you by now know chapters 1 through 4, predominantly the momentum of the unbeliever. Chapter 5 begins the journey of the believer. And chapter 6 is going to link us to chapter 7, where Paul is going to try to live the Christian life in the flesh and it not work. And then chapter 8 is the spiritual chapter of the walking in the Spirit. Look with me at Romans chapter 6, and what we're going to look at, some of the things that happened in our relationship with His death. People, these are things that are real about you. Chapter 6, and you'll just read quickly, verses 2 through 4. Chapter 6, Romans 6. Well, let's read 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? People, Any person who teaches grace, who teaches the Spirit-filled life by faith, is going to be accused of teaching that you sin, that grace increases. If a person is accused of that, they're probably right on in their teaching. They're probably doing a very good job in teaching grace, because this is the way the legalists, this is the way people related to the earth, related to performance, are going to hear it. So what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. May we never do that. Now I've got a question for you. Does grace increase if we continue to sin and be recovered by faith? Yes. Yes. But that's not why we do it. And we're not going to try to have it continue that way, is what he's saying. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us, who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into His death, identified with Him in His death. Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we might walk in the newness of life. So there are things that happen in reference to our death with Him. There are things that specifically related to our life with Him. Okay, let's go back to Colossians now. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Since you have been raised up with Christ, now we come to the first imperative. Since that is true, keep seeking the things above. Present, active, imperative. Keep on doing this. The verb zeteo, to seek after, to strive, to find something. And then it says where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Okay, the heart of our study, right here. Hope you see it. Keep on seeking the things above. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on doing what you started. Where did we start doing this? We started doing this in our search for eternal life. Our search for that eternal heavenly thing, the things above. None of us believe, I hope, none of you believe in Christ for what is called the social gospel, for something, God to give us something here on earth. Well, if I believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you know, good things will happen to me on earth. We were seeking the things above. Our mindset was the things above, the things that are eternal, the things that are spiritual, being with God, where God is, that was our seeking. Keep on doing that. Don't switch. Don't go over to the flesh. Don't go back to the earth. People, we live on earth. We're going to work. You have jobs, marriage, responsibilities, enjoyments of life, things we have to do. But those are not the things that we're setting our mind on. That's why if things don't work out, listen to me, that's why if things don't work out on earth, there's no stress, there's no anxiety, there's no depression about it, because this is not where our mind is set. Our mind is set on the things eternal. Okay, that didn't work out. Okay. That's just, I've got to move on. And you might say of that kind of person, well, they just don't really care. People, their life is hidden. When you develop and you reach that point by habit of living that way, and the world isn't going to understand it because your life is hidden. They can't see that. You mean you're not upset that you didn't get this, you didn't get that, that didn't occur, this didn't occur? You mean you're not, you know, why aren't you upset about it? They won't understand. Your life is hidden, people, to the world. Because you don't care about the world. The things on earth. Doesn't mean you're not going to do your job. It's just, it's not going to be your life. you're not going to be so stressed out you go home crying or go home upset or do this or do that and disrespect or that. It's not going to do that to you because your mind is set up here. Okay, I'll lose my job. On earth, that's a pretty bad thing to happen, isn't it? Does it have anything to do with heaven? Does it have anything to do with the things that are above? Does it have anything to do with things that are eternal? Not at all. That's why you have going through Scripture, a lot of things will happen to people who are walking by faith. Satan's going to try. Things are going to occur. And only you can make up your mind. If you're going to make the decision to live by what you really are in Christ. If we choose not to do that, if we choose to try to mix them like this, then let me assure you, you're going to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. And anger, and fear, and worry. You're going to try to hold on to things. You're going to try to control things, control people. You're constantly going to be in this battle. And this type of thing causes so much trouble to a lot of Christians in this country. Trying to hold on to things related to the earth and put themselves in all kinds of financial trouble, all kinds of burdens to keep a certain standard of living, to keep the children in a certain school, to keep this, to keep that, and all of these things are related to the earth. They're not the things related to that which is above. And I think you can begin to see if you will allow yourself the privilege of relaxing a few moments and just think your way through it. You know, if I really don't care about that, it's not going to stress me out. It's not going to cause me this much trouble. I'm amazed. I really am. There was a day and a time, and a few of you may have known me in those days. What the Dallas Cowboys did on Sunday made or break. If not just that day, the next few days, certainly. I mean, we're talking stressed out. We're talking immaturity of a grown adult if the Cowboys lost. And especially if they lost those stupid plays. And just go through the whole type of deal. And now, they lose. It's in a whole other realm. People, do you care what happens? Does anyone here care about Northampton High School playoff game 3 weeks ago? Did any of you lose any stress or anxiety or depression or anxiousness at all about that football game? Did anybody here? Northampton in New Hampshire. I didn't. Don't care. It's not in my world. It's not in Texas. It's not in the Maine at all. I didn't even care to read about it. I want to tell you something. When we learn to walk oriented to the things of above, that's the way we're going to be with the things that are related to this earth. They're just not in our domain. They're not in our categories of thoughts and of concerns. Can this be a reality? You bet it can. This is why a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression can be a reality. Does it sound unreasonable? Yes, to the flesh thinking. But not to the spiritual thinking. Not to our thinking of our relationship with Him. Not if we're going to live who we are in Christ. Okay, keep on thinking the things above. And again, we go back to where we started now. I hope you see it. Keep on seeking. Keep on. When did you start doing that? That you're keeping on doing it. You started when you searched for eternal life. Why did we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior? Because we were thinking of the things above. We were setting our mind. Verse 2. Set your mind. Our mind was set on seeking the things above. had nothing to do with the earth, but with the things above. And from that thinking, things above, that's when you and I began. Don't stop doing that, is what he's saying. Continue doing that. And if we do, we're going to find out what happens to stress, anxiety, and depression, things that are eternal, and the things that were related to above, to where God is. And where did this bring us? How did we get there? Simply by faith. It was simple. People, a life without stress, anxiety, and depression is not complicated. You don't need and a whole bunch of vocabulary and a lot of work. It is not complicated. I hope I don't hurt your feelings. I know your problems are unique. Your marriage problems, your financial problems, your health problems. And I know you would like to have a long, like to have special interest in your problem because it's special to you. But I'm here to tell you by the authority of God's Word, it is simple. It is not a complicated. It's starting off with realizing who you really are, and then living it. Living who you really are. And who you really are. This is why death becomes very easy for a person that lives this way. Death of their own death or the death of someone they love that's a Christian. I know where they are. That's where I live. It's the whole focus. Doesn't mean we're not going to sorrow. Doesn't mean that at all. Put into that perspective. So, the pattern is given for us. How? By faith in Jesus Christ, and then by faith in the whole you have been raised together with Christ. Keep on seeking the things above. Present, active, imperative, imperative of our life, of the tell, to seek after, to strive after. The term involves, now listen, the term involves the will of the believer, his decision making, to seek. See, it has the idea of seeking in the realm of making decisions. How we're going to make decisions in life. Now, the thing... Now, this is another area where we could spend a lot of time. Why does Paul word it that way? It's an interesting way to word that. It's the only place he uses it. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. I'm just standing in Colossians. I'm not going to go to a lot of Paul's writings. Chapter 1, verse 5. Chapter 1, and 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Why didn't he say heaven here? He used heaven there. Look at verse 20. And for him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And then all of a sudden we come now, things above. Okay, what's Paul doing? A lot of things for our study on stress, anxiety, and depression. Doing a lot of things. And we're going to note a few of them. Okay, first of all, once you start thinking in the realm of spatial contrast, not theological concepts. These are spatial, real places. So we have one spatial place on earth. On earth. Then we have another spatial place, things above. So we're dealing with two spatial different places. A contrast of the spatial places. Still a question. In dealing with this, I want to show you another thing that he's dealing with, things related above. Would you please open the scriptures to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. The Gospel of John, chapter 3. I'll show you something in the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John 3, and we're going to look briefly at verse 3. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again." Now, if you have the New American Standard that has words and corrections in the margin, what does it say in the margin? If you have anybody with a New American, what does it say in the margin? From above. It's the same root Greek word we have in our text. Now, let's pay attention to what we're looking at. Unless one is born from above. Spiritual birth. Now, let's start talking about it. What are we talking about? We're talking about living where you are from. You are not from earth. You are not from earth. And since you're going to have a lot of stress and depression when you try to make earthly things work for you. This is not where you are from. You are from above. People, as I said from the very beginning, and this is the heart of what we're doing tonight, the first thing we must realize if we want a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression, we must understand who we really are. That's the beginning of resolving the stress problem. Accepting, believing, and living who you really are. You're not even from planet Earth. Now, that sounds weird. That may sound some type of just philosophy or theology. People, this is reality. This is where you're from. You're from above. If you have been born in Christ, raised with Christ, you are from above. You are not from here. You go to Europe, they drive on the other side of the street. They still haven't learned how to drive over there. Now, it's supposed to be funny, but anyway. So, there's a lot of stress in learning to drive over there. They don't know how to drive. There's a lot of stress being somewhere where you're not from. A lot of anxiety. And we want to control things. You want to get things. Why? So I feel more comfortable. If I'm in a foreign country where everything is different, the more I can control what? The more I'm going to feel comfortable. So I have to control things. Or try to. So that I feel comfortable. That's what happens when you live in the flesh related to the things on this earth. You don't belong here, dear people. Why are we so worked up in our life and finances and all these things when we don't live here? We're not from here. We're from above. I used to use the example, you go to Mars, go to the moon. What do they have to have? They have the oxygen tank on. Why? They're not from the moon. If they're going to live on the moon, they take something from planet Earth, where they're from. They take that which has given them life on planet Earth, they take with them to the moon, and they walk around in the moon, but they've got to have that life from the earth, because they're from the earth. So if in your lifetime you go to the moon and you get out, you're going to have to wear one because you're not from the moon. Okay, people, we are not from earth. That's why we wear a spiritual helmet called the Holy Spirit. He is the source of our life. Anytime that you're out of the filling of the Spirit, you're going to start gasping. And stress is going to set in, and anxiety, and depression, and control, and anger, and all of those things. Because you are in a foreign place without your life support. But if we stay here, and we are walking in the Spirit, living in the realm of the things above, then we're going to be very comfortable. And how things happen down here are not going to stress us out, and they're not going to worry us. You go to a foreign country, Europe, Africa, Russia, go somewhere. To the degree that you just settle in, I'm just a visitor. I don't belong here. How they drive, how they eat, how they do this, how they dress, that's not my problem. I'm not even entitled to an opinion about it. They go Mecca, they go Mecca. They do this, they do that. Whatever they do, there's no stress. If you just accept the fact, this is not my country, it's not my home, I don't belong here, I'm going to be here a little while, just chill out, let them live their life. How they do everything is not my problem. Not my deal. You're going to have a lot of fun. And there'll be no stress, no anxiety, and no depression. People, that's the way we are on earth. It's going to sound weird. Let the earthlings live however they want to live. Let the earth people live how they want to live. You are not from here. Look at the scriptures of God's word, and do you believe it or not? Look what he says. You must be, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Where are you from? I'm from above. You're not an earthling. Now, that's weird because you're sitting there, yes, I am. I'm planet Earth. Da, 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 da. No, I'm telling you, by the authority of the scriptures, you're not. That person died. That person was crucified with Christ and died at the cross. And every relationship with this old earth. That's why people, I say that Christians have the right to more fun, more enjoyment of things related to the earth than anyone. Because we just don't hold on to them. They just don't matter. If we have it, fine. If we don't have it, fine. Christians have more, if you want to use the word right, we have more, we're in a greater position to enjoy the things of the earth than all the earthlings. Because that's not where we live. And we just enjoy them if we got those things, and if we don't, then that's fine also. Okay, let's go back now. So we have a contrast between heaven and earth. Things above and the earth. Things related to the earth, if you try to live as a person from heaven, born of heaven, and you try to live and find your fulfillment on the earth, calculated people, you will experience stress, anxiety, and depression, fear, anger, bitterness, jealousy, on and on and on. Chalk it up. You will experience it. However, if while you're here on earth, you live in seeking and thinking of those things related to the eternal, to up, to the things that are above, there's inner happiness, inner peace, content with what you have on earth. An old gospel hymn. An old one. The title of the hymn is You're Not Home Yet. And it's about a missionary. Came back home to America from the foreign field and got off of the ship. And no one was there to meet him. No one. And he looked around and his dignitary got off of the ship. And there was a band and hundreds of people shouting, and it hurt him. And then as the hymn would have it, the gospel would have it, the voice came down to him from heaven, but you're not home yet. Don't expect all of that from earth. Your life's hidden. Nobody knows who you are. All these people, nobody knows that you just brought a lot of people to the saving knowledge of Christ. Nobody knows. It's hidden what you've just done to affect eternity. Dear people, that's where you and I live, a hidden life. If we're looking for acclamations from the earth, then guess where you're living? You're living on the things related to the earth, and guess what? You're going to experience stress, anxiety, and depression. That's all the earth can give you. It is fickled. The earth is fickle. And Christians who live according to the earth are fickle. They're going to hurt you. They're going to lift you up. This whole performance standard is just going to kick you around. But the moment that you and I are, as you and I learn to develop a habit to live in the realm of where we're from above, and set our thinking above and keep on seeking the things of above, things down here are just not going to stress you out. Things down here just are not going to do it. I'll put it very strongly. Things that don't matter don't bother us. That's as strong as I can put it. Things that don't matter don't bother you. A lot of bowl games today, they don't matter to me. I watched the ones that involved the schools in Texas. One to put out of the paper. I didn't get to watch any of them, but I was interested enough to read the paper. Had an interest. There were some bowl games today. I just don't care. They don't matter to me, so they don't bother me. I will not get even a little bit happy depending on who won or lost. It just doesn't matter to me. Okay, people, this is where we want to develop a habit in reference to the things of the earth. It just doesn't matter. And if it doesn't matter, it can't hurt you. If somebody doesn't matter, let's take a husband and wife again that are getting a divorce. When that person matters, they can hurt you. They can make you cry. They can do these things. But when you and I are walking in reference to the things eternal, but let me just stay with the secular. I want to stay with the secular to finish my point. But once you reach the point in the divorce, they just don't matter. Guess what? They just can't hurt you. I don't care what they say. What they say just doesn't hurt you. Doesn't bother you. Because they don't matter. They just don't matter. Now, what happens in the spiritual realm is we have that, but it isn't that kind of an attitude. It's an attitude where this is what matters. Those things that are related above are the only things that matter. And that's the realm in which we desire and need to live. So we have a contrast now between the things below and the things above. We are from above. And this is where the realm of the things that are going to matter. Okay. Since therefore you have been raised together with Christ, keep on seeking, keep on doing it. Now you started it at the cross. Don't stop. Just keep on. That's why we'll keep on with grace. Keep on with faith. Keep on seeking the things above. Where Christ is, this is where He is. He's not here on earth. Jesus Christ is not here on earth. He is in heaven, the right hand of God. Where Christ is, comma, and what is He doing where He is? Seated at the right hand of God. Gives us that encouragement of why that's where we're going to live in that realm. Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord has said to my Lord, God the Father has said to Jesus Christ, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Let's look at verse 2. Second imperative. Set your mind. Set your thinking. Present active imperative, second imperative related to what we are studying, comes from the root for mind, to think, to have a mindset. And again, it involves the will. Set your mind on the things above. Now this gets us where we will turn, not now, but in some of our studies, we will do an in-depth study Proverbs 23:7, whatever a man thinketh, so he is. Now look what it says here. Get that mindset. Okay, people, whatever you think, so you are. If you think in the realm of this earth, so you are. If you think in the realm of things above, so you are. So you live. It's up here. And as we go through this, if you're one who has sat here and said, no, stress, depression, stress, anxiety, and depression are not choice, they're things that happen to us, I'm slowly going to show you. No, they're your thought process. You choose to do those things. So if we think in the realm, if we make a decision, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth, that's a decision. That's the first thing we set our mind thinking. If I set my mind thinking on the things of the earth, disappointment, discouragement, anger, hate, bitterness, jealousy, stress, anxiety, and depression. All these things are going to set in. You and I make one basic decision. Where are we going to live? What's our mindset? Things of the earth, things above. Once you make that decision, then the Holy Spirit takes over if you decide to live in the things above. The flesh takes over if you decide to live on the things below. And then, yes, then you're right. It's not by your choice. It's just what you're naturally going to do. It's what the flesh naturally does. And we'll study different ways the flesh reacts. What we're looking at are those people who experience stress, anxiety, and depression. There are other people. There are two kinds of people, those who experience it and those who give it. And we'll study those who give stress, anxiety, and depression. And that may be some of you. So we have both ways of handling it, that the flesh nature handles it. And it's a decision. People, there are people who make a decision to cause you stress. There are husbands who make a decision to bring into their wife stress, anxiety, and depression and to keep them that way because they control them that way. There are bosses who do that. There are people who do that. Keep you under the performance standard. They've got you. They control you then. So what is our decision? You get to decide. Am I going to set my mind to the things above or the things on earth? People, if you decide on the things of the earth, chalk it up, then it is. It's a natural course of the flesh nature. It just runs its course. If you decide on the things above, then the Holy Spirit takes over. And He is in control. So this is setting your mind. Now I've got to just close this out. Look at verse 3. 4. You, believer, have died, and your life, who and what you really are, is hidden. That just relieves so much pressure of this world. They don't understand you. They're not going to. Even believers on this earth who are living in reference to the earth. Your life is hidden. You know what that is? That means it's a secret. Your life is a secret. Now, it's revealed to others who understand. Others who understand are going to see it immediately, what's going on in your soul and your life. But it's hidden. It's hidden to most people, most Christians. Hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4. But it's going to be revealed. It's all going to come out. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Don't look for it here on earth, people, and you'll cut out the stress, the anxiety, and the depression about what you're not getting and what you don't have. You're not home yet. You are in a foreign planet. This is not where you're from. Don't try to find your happiness in the things related in the world. In other words, from Satan's lie that your self-worth is your performance plus others' opinion, don't try to live your life by the opinions of people on this earth. They don't matter to you, and they're going to cut you off from living by the things above. It'll cut you off from it. It'll cause you stress, anxiety, and depression. They control you. But if you set your mind to the things that are above, then you don't live by the opinions of others. Believers are not. You won't be there. So that's the first thing we want to do, to make that decision. I'm going to live who I am in Christ. I believe I am all the things that God says I am, that God works and has made me what I am. And He has said that you are what? Worthy of love. You are adequate as servants of the new covenant by His doing. So it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Only thing that matters is, what does God say? Do you believe that? Or do you believe what others say is more important? And having made us adequate of the new covenant, leads us into our celebration of the communion as we close out 1 year and bring in a new year. The gentlemen that are going to serve, please come up on the front. What a wonderful thing that we're getting ready to do as far as the plan of God and what God has done in regard to the church. And that is to give us, depending on each church and organization, how often and when they do it, but for here, once a month, to orient ourselves to how we are supposed to live. There are two elements to the Eucharist. The first element is the bread. And the bread represents being buried with Him, dying with Him, being crucified with Him. Represents our eternal life, being resurrected with Him. That's what the bread represents. Buried with Christ, risen with Christ. This is who I am in the partaking of the bread itself. Alive, spiritually, eternally, in Christ. And that's what the bread is to remind us of, the remembrance of Him, and remembrance of, this is how we entered the plan. This is how we're born from above. So it's a reminder of who I really am. It's a nice thing to do every now and then, to be reminded who you are, who and what you are, what you are in Christ. It's why we study Scripture. It's also why we have the communion. Now, every organization, church, has their own traditions. Ours is that you hold the bread until everyone has been served, and then we will take it together doing two things. Number one, in the very taking of it, our communion with Him, and then secondly, by doing it together, our communion together as members of the body of Christ. in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul gives us the only place really where we have the carrying on of the what we call the Lord's table. And he writes, "For I received from the Lord that which I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then, what he's going to do, the Passover is over. And we've looked at what the breaking of the bread meant in the tradition of comforting someone of the sorrow of the death of someone. And then Jesus Christ did something unusual that by that I mean had not been done. He took the cup, and he's going to pass this cup, or they're going to toast the cup, and it's something totally new, and it's not in the Passover, it's for the church. And what we're doing with the cup is what we're looking at as to why or how we're to live now that he's gone. We just saw where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Well, if we want to follow Christ and he's not here, how am I going to follow him? He's not here. Let's put ourselves in the position of the disciples. Now, they had followed him physically, walking by sight. That's how the disciples walked, was by sight. And he would go here, and he would go there, and they would go here, and just where up in a mountain, they'd go up in a mountain. Wherever he would go, they would go. Now, all of a sudden, he says, "I am going, and where I'm going, you can't come. Not right now. Can't go there." That's what caused Peter a lot of trouble. "Hey, I'll go with you." He's going up above. He's going to the Father, going to heaven. Okay, that leaves me with a problem now. I was walking by sight following you. Now you're gone, and I still want to walk with you, and I still want to do your will. How am I going to know what to do? Because you're gone. You're dead. You're gone now. You've risen and are seated at the right hand of the Father. It's like when someone that we love dies, how am I going to go on and live my life without that person? Okay, what Christ is saying is, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. How you're going to live, what he's going to say is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. And what this cup is going to do that we're going to take, it's going to remind us how we ought to live now. This is the setting of our mind. This is the keep on seeking the things above. That's what this cup is about. Keep on seeking those things that are above. Keep on doing it. Keep on having that mindset to follow me. You wanted to follow me when I was here? Just keep on with that attitude. Keep on with that thinking. And how you're going to do it is in the new covenant, which is now by the second sending of God, His Spirit. I'm going to follow my Spirit by faith. It is our custom that everyone hold a cup until all have been served, that we might communion together. Will you please stand? As we usher out the old year and bring in the new year now, we do it occupied and setting our thinking. So we're going to start out the year this way anyway, setting our mind thinking on the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is the realm in which you and I ought to live. And that's what the new covenant is. In the same way he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that you are a compassionate, merciful, sensitive God. You are so sensitive to the frailty of our existence. What is going to happen to us now that Jesus Christ is gone? How are we going to know? And you sent to us another helper. You sent to us your life through your Spirit. Father, pray that we will just develop a habit of walking in the Spirit. A habit of seeking the things above, and that's simply by faith. That we might experience, Heavenly Father, instead of stress and anxiety and depression, the peace and the joy that your Spirit gives. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Now, we have another tradition here, so let me get this, Jim. I'll pass these out, please. Do you have this? It's a tradition of man to sing Auld Lang Syne. It's a tradition here. We have been doing this since the new year of 74 into 75. And in 74, 75, Jim Passmore and I know we're here. I don't know of anyone else that was here at that time, but Jim and I were. And we did it at that year at the little Betty Hoffman School. And ever since here, except we had to break for the stupidity of Y2K. But now we're back into full form. And so it's a beautiful tradition. It's a wonderful song to sing. And it goes so quickly, though. So let's let Wes just play through it one time, and then we'll join in. Wes? Together now.